Well, welcome to Left Out. You're listening to Left Out on WRCT 88.3 FM. Left Out is a public affairs program that discusses news from a perspective left out of the mainstream media. I'm Bob Harper.
I'm Danny Slater.
And today's program is being produced by Molly Meyer. We have a guest on today who we'll get to in a moment, a number of topics to discuss. You're welcome to call us to ask any questions you'd like or participate in discussion. And you can reach us at 412-268-9728. That's 268-WRCT. Or you can also send us electronic mail by sending mail to bob@leftout.info, and we'll be monitoring that during the show.
So our first topic for discussion is an ongoing controversy that developed in the fall semester here on campus, and it all started when a guy named David Horowitz tried to submit an ad in the Tartan, pushing his views forward and trying to get controversy going, and the executive editor of the paper decided not to publish the ad. His name is Mark Egerman. We have Mark with us today.
Hello, and thank you for inviting me to your show.
So maybe you could give us a brief summary of the events. And let me just mention one thing just to preface the story, that the story ballooned into sort of out of control, and the Tribune Review got involved, and other things happened. So
let's start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I suppose the beginning is when David Horowitz tried to take out an ad for his latest book and sent this ad to 100 college newspapers, the Tartan being one of them. I received the ad, I looked over the content, and I decided that this was not something that the Tartan would run. Instead of running the ad, I myself took out an advertisement explaining that decision. I felt that the community should know of this decision, it should be transparent. I offered the ad to be publicly available in the Tartan office if anyone wanted to see it, to discuss it, to debate it. However, we looked at the content of the ad, and specifically the form of the ad. This was a very incendiary ad. It had a bomb on the cover with a lit fuse. It was trying very hard to be sort of a firebrand style advertisement. And we decided that this was not something that was appropriate for the Tartan. Having made this decision, there's some controversy arose on campus. We got a number of emails, a few letters demanding my resignation. But at the same time, there's a lot of students who came, who saw the ad, who talked about the responsibility of a newspaper, the decision to censor it. This was a hard decision to make. It's something I actually would later publish. I'm a card-carrying member of the ACLU. I'm not a big fan of censorship. However, the Tartan had a recent history of dividing the community. We felt that this ad was so inflammatory that really, at a fundamental level, to publish it would be irresponsible, that the community deserved better from the Tartan. We learned of that mistake in the past, and we decided that this was not something that belonged in print. Having done that, the Tribune Review sent a reporter to interview me, published both an article and an editorial critical of the decision. In this editorial, they came down very strongly, you know, and very outspokenly against this. And then they somehow brought in David Horowitz's proposed Bill of Academic Freedoms, saying that the decision of a small student, you know, editor or a student editor of a small student school newspaper somehow implies that the culture of the school would never allow these opinions to be heard. And despite the fact that the Tartan actually has a fairly conservative history, they decided that this was a good reason to really come down strongly and really push Horowitz's ideas forward. So this was published in December. I sent them a letter to the editor correcting some factual mistakes, but also telling them that there was a conflict of interest here. Quite simply, Richard Mellon Scaife, the publisher of the Tribune Review, is the biggest funder for David Horowitz. I felt that this was something that they at least had to disclose. When they published my letter to the editor, that whole conflict of interest was deleted and some extra lines were added that I had not written. David Horowitz then came on WRCT last week, was very critical of me. I was unaware that he was on. Somebody had informed me that he was sort of saying these things about me on the air, so I ran down here, got on the phone, and we had a little back and forth, I suppose. And that's where things stand.
So maybe to give our listeners a little bit of background, you should explain two things that you mentioned. One is the controversies on campus last year about surrounding the Tartan, and the other is just who is David Horowitz and what specifically is this book about, and what is this ad about, and how was this decision reached?
Well, I'll start with what happened last April. The Tartan probably hit the lowest point in its history last April when it published an April Fool's issue called the NatRad, a long-standing tradition at Carnegie Mellon going back, I believe, to the 1940s. And this issue crossed the line. It included a number of incredibly offensive racial stereotypes, racial slander, very anti-woman imagery and text, and the newspaper was effectively shut down. The old leadership stepped down, and I actually became the executive officer and later editor-in-chief of the paper. From the outside, I had never worked for the Tartan before, and I really came in. I actually had graduated from Carnegie Mellon. I was sticking around as one of the fifth-year scholars, and it was my goal to rebuild the school newspaper. And we felt that, you know, every community deserves a newspaper, and every, you know, great community deserves a great newspaper, and simply the mistakes of old leadership should not keep a 99-year-old organization down and out forever. And so here we are rebuilding this newspaper when in comes David Horowitz. David Horowitz is a nationally known commentator. Going back to his days, one of the sort of leaders of the New Left in the 1960s, this was the editor of Ramparts magazine, who I suppose had a change of hearts of sorts, and now is, you know, on the very far right. He's ahead of a number of organizations. He's got his own magazine and Front Page magazine, and he's very good at creating controversy. About 3 years ago, he published an advertisement in school newspapers, most explicitly at Cal and Brown, that caused great outcry. It was 10 reasons why slavery reparations are wrong. It led to demonstrations and rioting at Brown, where the newspapers were all seized. He's written articles for online magazines entitled "Guns Don't Kill Black People, Other Black People Do." This is a man who tries his hardest to create controversy. He loves publicity. He loves being, you know, really incendiary and forcing you to sort of deal with his issues by making them as offensive as sort of legitimately possible.
Right, and then this sort of was putting that sort of rhetoric into the paper at this point in its history is particularly galling.
Well, it's not clear to me exactly how much he knew of the Tartan's history. He actually contacted me personally after I chose not to run his ad, criticizing me, saying, "I guess it's sad to see that the Tartan is not above running jokes about running over black people, but finds defending the state of Israel to be too controversial to print." And my response to him was, "Well, that wasn't my decision back then, and that's not why I chose not to run your ad." And it had absolutely nothing to do with the politics of his ad, but the form of his ad, right? If he had, you know, proposed the same ad, made a very anti-Israel and pro-Palestinian, I would have had the same decision. You don't put a lit fuse in an incendiary ad in a school newspaper.
So, were there factual errors? It doesn't sound like it was an issue of factual errors in the ad. It was more the form. Was he using offensive language that you know, the N-word you might use for blacks or that sort of thing? I mean, there was a picture of a bomb. Okay.
So Horowitz is good at this game. I mean, he would never try to publish an ad with the N-word. The title of the advertisement was "Israel is the Canary in the Mine," which alone to some degree says, you know, poor innocent canary, poisonous mine. It sort of brings up very sort of striking imagery, but that alone is not what did it. He, throughout the ad, consistently tried to blur the line between terrorists and Palestinians. He kept saying things like, whereas Palestinians tried to destroy, you know, Lebanon's independence and turn it into this, instead of saying the PLO. And while on the air, he even backtracked from this. He said, well, maybe I would have changed that. You know, it's hard for me to try to micromanage these things. But he seemed to know that there were things in the ad that were very questionable. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom, there was a quote taken out of context from Osama bin Laden talking about how the interests of the left and the interests of the terrorists coincide. And, you know, publishing a quote by Osama bin Laden and this very sort of bold, striking ad, to me, at some degree, it stood out and said, this doesn't belong in a student newspaper.
So how was that decision reached? That was just solely your decision as the executive editor, or was there some editorial board or advisory board that dealt with this? Or
ultimately, the decision was mine. I did ask those who were present at the time, because this decision came late, that by the time I actually saw the ad in front of me, that I had heard that he was taking out an ad by the time we received it. This was past most of our normal operating procedures. However, I talked to as many people on the staff, as many senior people around that I could, to make them feel that at least to some degree I wasn't acting arbitrarily. And then I finally decided in the sort of final conclusion that this was just not something that I felt comfortable running. And then the decision to actually take out an ad of my own was a response to saying, well, the community deserves to know this process. They deserve to know why this isn't happening. And so specifically to short-circuit the accusation that I was censoring it because of its content, right, that I really didn't want Horowitz to get up on a soapbox immediately and say, look, left-wing media bias, right? I couldn't stop that, apparently. However, you know, I wanted to make it clear that was not what was happening here.
So we're talking to Mark Egerman, former executive editor of the Tartan. You can give us a call at 412-268-9728. Could you tell us a little more about the other things that Horowitz is doing? And he's got an organization called, what's it called, Students for academic freedom or something? Students for Academic Freedom.
I believe it is Students for Academic Freedom.
But he's not a student.
He is not a student, okay, although he's working with students on campuses across the country.
So what is the thrust of that, and what is it trying to do?
Well, this is an organization that is attempting to get legislation passed at the state level to make it illegal for universities to include political biases in the classroom, which on the front, you know, sort of seems like a good idea. It's based in principles that many people can agree with. But we sort of – a lot of people look at this, and I think that I'm in the actual clear majority here on both the left and the right. Centrists get very nervous about bringing the courts in to decide what is and isn't politically biased, what can and cannot be taught in a classroom, that a lot of people, including some longtime supporters of him, are wondering what's going on here. And so to some degree, that this thing is – the controversy surrounding this thing is almost more complicated than the thing itself. But what Horowitz's plan of action seems to be is to find an individual student at a university, either a state university or private university, who feels that he or she was discriminated against because of bias, political bias in the classroom, and then use that as a, you know, just say, look, the whole university system is corrupt. You know, unreconstructed leftists are destroying the minds of our young youth. They are indoctrinating freshmen. We need to bring in the state legislature to make sure that, you know, there's a truly balanced, fair education. And what's shocking is you don't see him going to Bob Jones University. You don't see him going to the military institutes and saying, hey, wait, are there political biases here? What he's trying to do is he's trying to go find any single professor who dare, you know, have a political opinion, whether it's in the classroom or not. And he's creating this sort of bizarre, you know, sort of neo-McCarthyian status quo where you've got to be careful what you say for fear that you'd be accused of political bias, let alone have a radio show.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
such a thing.
Yes. But, well, the thing is that it's very hard to define these things, because at some point a political opinion just becomes an actual analysis of the facts. And we've seen that in the whole build-up to the Iraq War, that the fact that most people don't know what's going on, and the fact that there were no weapons of mass destruction, a lot of people still don't even know that. And so for a professor to stand up and say there were no weapons of mass destruction, Bush lied in the State of the Union address, these are just facts. It's not a political opinion at all. It's a fact. So how do you even define that? Horowitz might say those are opinions, right, but they're not.
Well, that's a depressing thing here. This is actually a fundamentally interesting question. This goes back to the Socratic era of actually trying to question what is authority, who has the right to determine what is a fact. Right? These are fascinating questions, but Horowitz doesn't respect his audience to deal with it in its true complexity. He is appealing to the basest level of saying, oh my goodness, look what they're teaching my children, such lies and slander. And before we know it, if you're not teaching intelligent design, you're going to be politically biased in the classroom.
That's
another
example.
I find this to be a terrifying idea, that David Horowitz knows what should and shouldn't be taught. And David Horowitz can tell what is and isn't biased, what is a fact, what is an opinion. I mean, what he did with the tartan is no different than what he's trying to do. He is this outsider, fabulously well-funded, very well-known, who sort of blusters his way into a small school and tries to intimidate and push around professors, students, anyone who dare disagree with him. He gets on the radio, he calls me a vulgar Marxist for believing that I should, you know exactly who's paying the bills here. And to me, this is astonishing. And that students deserve better than letting this man come in and tell them what to do, what to learn, who to think. You know, in the whole history of the American Academy, who was granted a PhD, who has the right to teach, great question, something to be talked about, but not by this guy who's got a clear agenda here,
right,
and who's got lots of money and he's willing to push people around with it.
But didn't you play into his hands by refusing to run the ad? I mean, what would have been wrong, really, with running a paid advertisement for this book of his called, whatever it's called, Unholy Alliance, right? Radical Islam in the American Left. The question is, what really would have been the harm in doing that? And didn't you just really play into his hands?
Sure. And this was the agonizing part of the decision, and that he really puts editors in a tough spot. Right? No matter what I chose to do, I was going to be unhappy on one hand. Right? Whether I ran the ad and I felt, here I am allowing a school newspaper to be a soapbox for this national commentator who has his own magazine, and it's not like he's hurting for an attempt to get his message out. Or by censoring him, giving him the ability to do this, I tried in some sense to hit a middle ground. I don't know how successful I was. But to me, that David Horowitz has absolutely no right to come to any private university, a student newspaper, and demand anything. Right? If he wants to run an article, if he wants to run an advertisement, that is up to the individual editor. That's one of the great things about the First Amendment. He thinks that it's a violation of his freedom of speech. He's got it all wrong. I mean, forcing an editor to publish anything is the clearest violation of free speech I can think of. And this decision may have added fuel to the fire. But at the same time, I mean, I stand by it. I said, hey, he's got no right to publish this. If this is something that the Tartan doesn't want to run, we're not going to run it. And, you know, maybe in some sense I hurt the global campaign and provided him with more fodder to say, look, left-wing media bias on our universities, they're indoctrinating our students. But I think anyone who reads what I wrote, who reads his ad, will say, hey, this was a legitimate call. And that's my hope, is that we can actually have a real discussion and play by different rules than Horowitz likes to set up by just sort of throwing, you know, a bomb into a student newspaper, so to speak.
Have you stepped down as the editor of the paper at this point?
Yes, I have. And so there was a transition in leadership in December. Following this was a planned transition. That is my job now, to work with the new leadership to really try to get the Tartan back on its feet, feeling that if I graduated as running it without anyone having any leadership experience, well, then we might run into some more problems. You know, we have mid-semester elections. Everything went as planned.
So I was curious whether there's any other ads that you know of that were similarly turned down, like, I don't know what they might be, beer or cigarette ads? I don't know.
Ads are actually an interesting thing. This just went to the state Supreme Court. The college newspapers have the right to run beer ads. However, this was something that we had agonized over whether or not we would do were such a thing submitted. One was not. In my time, the only time we would ever turn away ads was when we quite simply did not have the space, and we would look at who came first, which products that we felt was actually relevant to students. And that was a tough decision to begin with. And perhaps the most important thing to note is we get about 15 to 30 submissions every week for editorials, for columns, from people who aren't members of the campus community who would like to write a column in the Tartan, whether they're from the Pittsburgh area, whether they're just national and send it out to everyone. We turn these away every day. I mean, every day. This is not uncommon. What makes Horowitz different is he's got the money to turn his editorial into an advertisement. But we turn down content every day.
Who are your editorial writers? I noticed there was I read some pretty right-wing editorials in the paper. Do you regularly write a column, or did you
When I was acting as executive officer, I had a weekly column, Executive Privilege. However, it was not a political column. It was talking about the inner workings of the newspaper and the challenges of getting it back on its feet. However, we do actually have a significantly more conservative editorial staff than most college newspapers that I'm aware of. And that was a shocking thing. I mean, there were articles written 2 years ago supporting Horowitz's Bill of Rights by a student who felt that it was necessary. We try very hard to have a balanced editorial section. We have many pro-Bush articles both before and after the election. And we've had many Kerry articles. We've had many libertarian articles. We try our hardest to really get a good mix, you know, in our paper, that I do not feel that the Tartan is explicitly biased. And I don't know where Horowitz has the gall, without having met me, without having read an issue of the Tartan, to come and just throw out words like vulgar Marxist and extremely left-wing. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see where that comes from.
Right. Well, I think that's a very good point to put some balance into the discussion. Because isn't it the case that Horowitz is setting himself up as being the arbiter of balance, and just by refusing his ad or his article, whatever it may be, that in itself is considered to be evidence of bias, as opposed to a real examination of the editorial and article content in the Tartan?
Well, I don't think this is how Horowitz's view of the world works. You don't actually do real analysis. What you do is you find a single example and you generalize at will, and you don't even care about the circumstance or the background.
Right, right. And so one of the things the website is doing is trying to collect these little anecdotal stories about, well, I was in a class and my professor didn't call on me because I was going to say something that he didn't like, or stuff like that, mm-hmm. and then generalize about the horrors of suppression of students who don't toe the line.
Well, what's amazing about all of these is you never see an example of a student saying his or her grade was negatively affected. You merely hear that they are indoctrinating me with leftist claptrap, but never have I said, well, my grade was lower than it should have been because I said a pro-life statement in class and that, you know, teacher was a feminist. What you say is the teacher was a feminist and I felt marginalized, but never have I seen an example of a student's grade actually being affected. Now, if there was a case in which Republicans got significantly lower grades in a classroom, you could demonstrate bias, you could actually study this, I'd be interested, right? I'd be concerned. I'm not concerned. I've never seen it in my 5 years as an undergraduate. I've never seen anything on this website. All I hear is I disagree with my professor's beliefs and I'm going to complain about it until something is done.
So you mentioned that the Tribune Review picked this up. So I wonder, and you were drawing a connection between the Tribune Review, which is owned by Richard Mellon Scaife, and he funds Students for Academic Freedom. You were saying that he funds the, David Horowitz's operation. Is that true?
Well, it's been demonstrated by journalists who've investigated Scaife over the years. They've been trying to piece together what various foundations and organizations he's funding. But on the air last week, when asked by one of the WRCT hosts, Horowitz said that he thinks, and he didn't know for sure, that at least 10% of his bills were paid for by Richard Mellon Scaife. And to be honest, I mean, I wish somebody was paying 10% of my bills. And I don't know, you know, how much it costs to sell out to a man like Richard Mellon Scaife, but 10% is a pretty big number. And if you think about how many millions of dollars that Horowitz takes in a year, I mean, Scaife has clearly got one of the largest stakes in this entire operation, whether it's Students for Academic Freedom, the Center for the Study of Popular Culture, you name it. I mean, Scaife is one of the big players behind the scenes. And to me, I just felt that this was something that, you know, the Tribune Review's readership should know. This doesn't negate their opinion. They're allowed to have their opinion, but you treat your audience with respect.
So in your letter to the editor, you brought this out, but that was eliminated. That was deleted from your letter. Is that right?
Right. This is correct.
I see. So Horowitz doesn't dispute that he gets his money from Scaife. In fact, he admits that some percentage, like 10% of his funding, is from Scaife.
Correct.
So that's clear. And you said that the Tribune Review should have made clear this connection, and they simply deleted that from your letter.
Well, you know, you should have taken his ad and modified his ad. No, I'm just kidding. But that you if you had been what the Tribune Review did, you could have done
and
that.
And I think also saying about your letter, could you say a little more about your letter to the Tribune Review?
Oh, well, I was merely correcting some of the mistakes that they actually made while criticizing me in the editorial. I mean, they claimed that I quietly silenced a debate instead of, you know, treating, you know, the community with the respect of exposing them to this material. But it couldn't be further from the truth. I explicitly said what I was doing in my own space, and on top of everything, I let the ad be seen by anyone who wanted to see it. I mean, I really did not feel that the Tribune Review was accurate, and I felt that their readership should be treated with the respect that they accused me of not showing. They should know the conflict of interest.
So I think before the show, though, you mentioned that they also modified your letter?
This is correct. So I had said that I rejected – I mean, they modified it actually significantly. They changed sentence structure and whatnot. But the most shocking thing was that when I referred – I said I rejected an advertisement by David Horowitz. They said I rejected an advertisement by conservative free speech activist David Horowitz for his latest book, Unholy Alliance, The American Left and Radical Islam. And to me, well, the whole controversy started because I didn't want to run an ad by this man. To make me advertise for him seemed a little offensive.
All right. Well, I think, David, you have to go from where.
Yes. Mark,
excuse me.
That's
I'm sorry.
Okay. It's my middle
Thinking
name, I understand.
You have to go. So maybe we could wrap up this segment. Thanks for appearing on Left Out.
Thank you for having me.
Really an interesting story. Glad to have you on the show. We're going to take a brief musical break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.